It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm Mark Yeagy, your host. Glad you're here. Today, we have Jordan Berry, who is a laundromat guy, right? Laundromats. He was a pastor, and he transitioned out of that into buying a laundromat. And he's gone through the ups and the downs of owning laundromats. And it's quite a story, but it's actually on top of the story now, and he's made things happen. So let me welcome here Jordan Berry. Hey, Jordan, how's it going?
Mark, it is going well. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a huge honor.
You know, one of the things that I love when I get to interview people is I get to interview people sometimes that are just so off the beaten path a little bit. But when they're off the beaten path, sometimes they go really deep into a subject. And I love that. Like I had somebody on the podcast a few weeks ago about car washes. And it was just so fascinating that there's so much to know about car washes. I was I'm here in Greece right now, and I was on a trip this past weekend with some guys that like to ride motorcycles. They ride these enduro motorcycles up these steep mountains, and they climb, and they have a blast doing it. They're like eight guys. We all stayed in this one house. I don't do enduro motorcycling. I do regular on-off motorcycling. But you know, the cool thing is like these guys were so into it, and they were talking about all the nuances of it, and all they talked about was motorcycling and enduro riding. And it was just kind of cool to see how deep they go. So I'm looking forward to delving in a little bit about what you do and all that stuff. You are, as we said, in the laundry business. So take us through what that's all about.
Yeah, let's get knee deep into laundromats here.
How there about we that?
Go. Yeah. Yeah, man. So laundromats, I mean, listen, it's one of those things where you kind of take a look around in life and you're like, how did I get here? I wasn't like a kid growing up dreaming about owning laundromats. Like probably a lot of your audience was that. That wasn't me. I kind of almost sort of happened into this business. And when I got into it, it did not go well, but I could see the potential of this business to really get that financial freedom that so many people are searching for much quicker than many of the other paths. I was like knee deep in the whole real estate, you know, let's financial freedom through real estate investing. And then I was like, man, if I'm going to get $200 per door, how many doors do I have to get? Like, this is crazy. Right. And then, you know, laundromats, I realized I was already owning laundromats, but I realized like, look, 99% of America could replace their income with 1 to 3 laundromats. And that's where it was a big eye-opening thing for me, where I saw sort of the power of owning a relatively passive small business like a laundromat and what that could do for people.
That's really amazing. When I was in college, I went to laundromats all the time. And I'd sat around and I thought, what a cool business. Now, the ones I went to were in Gainesville, Florida, and they had, I think we had Suds and Duds or something like that.
Right.
And
They
had TVs and beer and the whole thing. And I was like, this is a cool business. I would love to have this. And then I went to other laundromats and I'm like, I'm not sure I'd like to hang out with this clientele so much. So I never really got into it, but I always thought it was fascinating. You know, back then it was collecting quarters. I'm sure it's totally different now, but I am fascinated by the business. But you said you had some trouble in the beginning, and I have a feeling that that trouble has to do with making a profit. Tell us about how that worked. You got into your first laundromat and got into some trouble, or what?
Yeah, well, that was the profit thing was definitely a problem, and the clientele was definitely a problem. So, So, I mean, when I got in, listen, I was as green as they come. I didn't know anything about business. I was a pastor for 14, almost 15 years before this. I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about investing. I knew nothing about real estate. I knew nothing about really anything when it came to money, other than just save money. That's pretty much all I knew. Had a family friend who was working a tech job up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and, you know, was working 70, 80 hours a week, making good money, but he ended up buying a laundromat and replacing that tech income and took that 70 to 80 hour work week down to about 5 hours a week. And I was like, well, that sounds good. Let's do that. And this was almost a decade ago, and there really wasn't that much information out there. And again, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know any general knowledge about buying a business or valuation or anything like that. So I relied almost entirely on the broker for my information, and probably don't need to spell this out, but that broker just didn't have my best interest in mind. And the laundromat I bought, you know, he showed me pro forma numbers that were like pretty sweet, you know, to me.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, it was like a decade ago, but I want to say it was, he said it was going to net, you know, somewhere in the $5,000 to $6,000 a month range. And I was like, okay, that sounds awesome to me. Let's do that. And it not only didn't net that, you know, it lost a couple $1,000s a month for a couple years until I finally got things figured out. So yeah, it was a expensive learning experiences going on.
So you had to buy the thing, and then on top of it, you had to spend another, let's say, $48,000 just to chase after the losses in the business. How did you turn it around? What happened? Yeah.
Probably more than that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I bought the thing. So just to kind of break it down for you, I bought the thing all cash. It was what we call a zombie mat, basically a fixer upper laundromat. And and the broker basically said, hey, look, we don't need to do due diligence. We know this thing's not really making money, it's breaking even. So we're gonna put in new machines here, and then here's how it's gonna perform after that. So that was the plan, and followed that plan, bought it all cash. Finance 100% all new equipment, and turned out that it wasn't breaking even. It was already losing a couple $1,000s a month, and then I threw a note on top of that, so it was losing money again. And business did improve, just not enough to overcome, you know, what it was already losing and the new note. So, you know, one big takeaway for me that I learned that's going to answer your question finally is, you know, I invested a lot of money into, I was probably $250,000 into this laundromat between new equipment, acquisition, and renovations and stuff. So I invested a lot of money into this rehabbing this laundromat. I invested $0 into rehabbing the reputation of the laundromat. And it turns out it's just a lot harder to rehab the reputation of the laundromat than to actually rehab the laundromat. And so this laundromat had become like gang turf, essentially. The owners had basically stopped going there almost at all. And so I found, this is, by the way, this is not a typical experience, so I don't want to scare anybody, but, you know, essentially I ended up having to get these gang members out so that the community felt safe again. And because I was losing so much money, I sort of turtled up and I didn't put any more money into like marketing to show people, hey, look at this is new management. It's not the same place it used to be, you know, get people in the door, just so that they can see it. And so it just took time because I didn't invest in rehabbing the reputation of the laundromat. It just took time for me to run a good business and good operations consistently, keep it clean, keep all the machines working, good customer service, you know, all the, just the basic stuff over time for people to finally start trickling in and hit that break even point and then start making money.
Wow. I mean, do you still have that today?
I just sold it this past year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You're probably like, woof, got out of that one. Learned a lot.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, especially from those early days, man, it was rough, man. It was a lot of painful, expensive learning experiences for sure.
So is it passive income, Jordan? Like, is it something you buy it and then you just sit back and put your feet up and wait for the mailbox money to come in? Or do you have to actually go and collect the quarters and fix the machines? What, tell us about, you know, the activity.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great question. And this is billed as a passive business. And I would probably argue there are no passive businesses.
I would agree.
But with that said, I would say there's a scale, right, of passivity on one time and activity on the other side. And you can set your laundromat business up to lean pretty heavily on the passive side. It's never going to be, you know, one thing I like to say is like, look, whenever you're dealing with people or machines, you're going to have problems and issues that come up that you're going to have to deal with, right? And laundromats have a whole bunch of both. So problems come up and, you know, customer service stuff happens, and you can set it up to where you have, you know, you have interrupters that can handle those things before problems get to you, but eventually something's going to come your way that you're going to have to deal with, right? So I would say, no, it's not passive, but it can be pretty heavily leaned towards the passive side. And there are ways sort of emerging now to invest more, to invest passively in laundromats. You're just, you know, you're going to be partnering with somebody essentially, like a fund or something like that.
Hi, I'm Mark Yeagy. Every new year brings hope, but have you ever made those resolutions and by February they're out the window? Yeah, me too. This coming January 13th and 14th, join me at Your Greatest Year. It's an online summit dedicated to setting you on a path to transformation, abundance, and growth. Make your resolutions a reality. Let's create magic together in 2024. Make 2024 your greatest year.
Okay, so take us through the investment side of it. So are these things financeable, or generally you have to put cash down, or do you find an angel investor? How does it work if you want to do one? And also, how does it work if you want to do 25 of them and be a part of a syndicate? And does that even happen?
Yeah. So yeah, great question. So they are financeable with an asterisk. You know, with real estate, there's, you know, obviously there's lots of financing options for real estate, right? But sort of like the unicorn, the mythical legend of real estate investing is seller financing, right? And yeah. In laundromat space, it's actually fairly common to at least get some seller financing, which is great, but it's also sort of a double-edged sword. You know, this still tends to be a cash business, by and large. Now we have finally, some pretty good options on the digital payment side, whether that's card or app. Digital payments, which is great, I think, for our business, and also great for being able to manage those 25 locations if that's your goal. But by and large, most of them are still coin-based laundromats.
Really?
So what that means is, unless the owner is keeping good books, and I sort of half joke a lot, like in our business, you know, owners are either really bad at keeping the books. Like, I've literally gotten P&Ls written on napkins, literally, you know, yeah. Or they're very good at keeping the books. Like, maybe they even have more than one book. I don't know. You know,
Right.
But what that means is that sometimes they're not financeable. At least through like a bank. So you might have to go through like a laundromat specific lender, which there are some.
Okay.
And some of them do qualify for bank lending and SBA loans and things like that. But not all of them will. But that's where that seller financing sort of comes in, is that a lot of times if a seller wants to sell, they're going to have to carry a note of some percentage, at least, of that. But what that means is, there's not a good paper trail of income. So that's where the double-edged sword comes in. So now that due diligence becomes even more critical to do.
Huh. I want to shift to a double-edged question. I don't know the double-edged answer. Piggybacking on your double-edged concept, but we've got, in theory, we have a recession coming. I mean, we're printing money, inflation, and it's making things harder. I don't know why we're not hearing more about it, but we're not. And you know, people can't be just doing that well right now. I mean, I hear that credit card debt is at the highest it's ever been. People aren't getting raises, but their costs are going up, and they're not just going up by 2 or 3%. You know, and I know that they're going way up. So the double-edged sword part of the question is, you know, I know how expensive that laundry equipment is just for going to Home Depot, right? And that's expensive now.
Yeah.
So those people aren't going to be able to afford it, which translates to maybe you are going to have a lot of expenses on that side, because you have to buy not only just washers and dryers, but industrial strength washers and dryers. Mm-hmm. How does all that play into your business, and how does that play into your returns?
Yeah, so it's an interesting time right now. On obviously, like, equipment costs have gone up. You know, and we're not. We're not, generally speaking, we're not buying little top load machines anymore, right, like laundromats used to have. We're buying big old 80-pound, 100-pound, 60-pound front load machines. And, you know, those can range from like $12,000 to $25,000 each.
What?
Some of those real big ones they're big bucks, man. They're throwing around a lot of weight, so they got to be made pretty heartily. So, but, you know, those costs have gone up, you know, over the last couple of years, as we've seen that inflation go, and and all that. But also, you know, on the financing side, interest rates are high too, right? And utilities have gone up more than your what's being reported on in terms of the inflation number. You know, utilities are going up beyond that by and large, a lot of places, right? So, so obviously, I mean, this affects our industry, it affects every industry, you know, as we see this. But you know, what you've got to remember, you've just got to do what all businesses do, right? Which is you pass along the costs, to the consumer. Now it can be difficult to do that in our industry because we're still by and large a mom and pop industry. And so there's a lot of people who run their laundromats pretty passively and aren't paying attention to, hey, your utility costs just went up 45%. You're going to respond to that at all? And a lot of times they don't. And it makes it difficult when other laundromats in your area aren't raising their prices the way they should be, and you are. And so going back to the double-edged thing, that's a double-edged thing because it's hard to raise prices. However, one thing it does do, and we've seen this happening a lot to my pleasure, my joy, is it's forcing the people who are the savvier business owners who are trying to keep up with all these numbers that are going crazy on us right now, who are having to find ways to serve their customers better.
Sure.
Right. And a lot of people, when you think of laundromat, like you were saying, like you think of like kind of dark, dingy, not that clean, half the machines are out, like zombie mat. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the reputation this industry has. And my goal and my hope is to help rehab the reputation of our industry. And so it is sort of a double-edged sword because it's difficult to raise prices, but it forces us to justify those price raises to communities. And in turn, that actually projects value on the community and communicates value to the customers. Like, hey, you're worth, you know, us investing our time, energy, effort, money into you as our customers. And so it can be a good thing on that side too.
So in our country, you go through any town and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a franchise, mm-hmm. you know, you can't, or some kind of chain of something. Why has there not been a chain or a roll up happened in this business? What do you think?
So, I mean, I often do this, travel around the country, swinging dead cats. And you're right. Like I hit franchises all the time. So
yeah.
You vouch for that. So there's some franchises that have attempted and failed in this industry. And there are a couple right now that are attempting, that are getting more interest. There haven't been any roll-ups. However, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, that's the path I'm heading down right now personally, with raising money and doing some roll-ups, because I think there's huge upside opportunity in doing that in this industry. So to answer your question, why hasn't that been done successfully yet? I think it's a couple different things. So number one is our industry really until pretty recently has been pretty overlooked as a non-player. Part of that's because of the reputation of the industry. Part of that is just because, you know, it's a mom and pop industry, which means it's an inefficient market, which is actually a really good thing if you're trying to scale. But the other side of this is that we've been like a sloth riding a snail through molasses in terms of technological development over here until the last couple of years. And so finally we're getting like these decent digital payment options, like we mentioned, software systems that can help you manage multiple locations, stuff like that. That's just now getting to a point where some of that scale can be had now. And that's been a limiting factor for a long time, but also the sort of the YouTube videos, the Cody Sanchez's, the Brandon Schlichter from Investment Joy, the TikToks have shined a light on this industry lately. And we're seeing more savvy business owners and investors come into this business because there's a lot of potential here that is untapped. And so it's happening. We're starting to see a little bit of consolidation in this business. And I think we're going to see more going forward.
Very cool. Very cool. So you teach people, you know, not just the investment side, but do you teach people how to get started in laundromats and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's a ton of free content You know, I have a podcast too, Laundromat Resource Podcast, where I interview owners and other industry professionals and ask them point blank questions on like, hey, how are you succeeding? What advice do you have for new people? You know, I have a YouTube channel, has a bunch of stuff over there too. And then I have a course for when somebody's ready to actually pull the trigger. This is a cash business. So there's a lot of potential gotchas in this business. Yeah. And so that course is going to help you avoid all those landmines, not just with the knowledge it has, but it also comes with all the tools that you need that we've developed. I developed a lot of them for myself in our investment fund, but also, you know, I share that with people who buy the course there too. So, doing that, doing consulting. I have a little consulting team that we, you know, help people either get into the business or optimize and scale their business once they're already in it.
That's amazing. Well, this is fascinating. I'm glad we got to dive deep into laundromats. I'm amazed that it's a business that is not mainstream. You know, even now, we all know, like everybody listening to this podcast knows that people that own laundromats make money, except for you in the first one. But
We
all know that, well, that was a big
ego hit, by the way. I'm like, everybody else is making money around here. What's going on with me? That was tough.
That's kind of like the old candy bar route and soda machine. You know, what do they call those? The
vending machine. Yeah.
The vendor. So this was really cool. Listen, how do people get in touch with you? I'll have the link on the show notes, but how do people get in touch with you just in case they want to shortcut it?
Yeah. So platform is Laundromat Resource. So laundromatresource.com, Laundromat Resource Podcast. We're on all the socials and YouTube as Laundromat Resource. So you can check us out there. And I'll shoot you a link for the course if anybody wants to check out that course and how to get in the business the right way the first time. That's critical.
Yeah.
My email is Jordan, Jordan, at laundromatresource.com.
I mean, that's cool. You know, I think if you go out and buy a franchise, it's going to cost you a lot more than what your course costs.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a franchise is usually pretty expensive and you got to give over a bunch of money to be able to run it. I think you probably are going to teach people where the bodies are buried and how to do financing and operations and management and the whole thing. So I think it's probably a great soup to nuts resource. And you sure certainly have a lot of knowledge in that department and I'm sure a lot of other ones. So thanks for your time today and your wisdom. This was really cool to go deep with you and, you know, hope to see you again soon.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on the podcast. Always fun to talk laundromats.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And listen, everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. See you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.